everyone. Welcome to myself, Max McGillivray from Beanstalk. Agri Leadership Week, 17th to 21st of May, 2021. Why are we hosting a broadcast about Agri Leadership Week? My daughter, she's doing A-level psychology, and so she pinged me down last night because in her learnings at the moment, she's been set this particular conundrum. What is leadership, and can leadership be taught? You look at leadership within agribusiness, fresh produce within the UK and also internationally, and there's a very well-known slide stat by Cranford University that the companies that invest in their staff in terms of learning, training and development see far better returns in profitability and turnover. But are we excelling at this, especially with everything that's gone on in the last year in the respects of the pandemic? I don't think so. And that's why there's been a new cross-organizational campaign taking place in May, 17th, 21st of May, to raise awareness of leadership training across the agricultural career spectrum. So hashtag Agriship Leadership Week is a joint scheme by AHDB, Nuffield Farming Scholarship Trust, Institute for Agricultural Management, the Worshipful Company of Farmers, and the Farmers Club Charitable Trust. We've got a number of experts from those organizations in today to talk to us about it so we can learn more on that. Could everyone come in? So whilst everyone's coming in, the Agri Leadership Week is gonna target current and aspiring leaders within agriculture who are unaware of or are yet to make use of any leadership training. Through the campaign, it's hoped people will become more aware of training that can not only improve them as a person, but as an employer in charge of others. Their campaign also wants to tackle the lack of formal education in the UK when compared to international partners. Only one in three agricultural workers in Britain have completed any form of proper training and schooling, compared with, say, 7 in 10 in both the Netherlands and Germany. So it's a fairly horrific statistic when you look at that. And if there's one thing that we all are going to need when we're working through this pandemic is leadership, especially in agriculture. When what are we looking to do? We're looking to feed the nation. So let's just run through our experts to see who we've got on board. So Isaac, who are you, please, and who are you representing?
Thank you, Max, and thank you for having me. What an exciting collaboration to be part of. So our very first ever Agri Leadership Week, so thank you very much. My name is Isaac van Heerden, and I lead for AHDB on our AgriLeader program. Like myself, it originated in the dairy industry, started off as the Dairy Leader program, really aimed to deliver to those levy payers that are technically very proficient already, but they could use some support on leadership, management, motivation, recruitment, that types of areas. So that's where it came, where it's come from, and about 12 months ago, so we started moving across to AgriLeader across all of the sectors. Prior to that, I lectured on courses for Plumpton College and University of Brighton, and before that, I milked and managed cows, and originally, I'm from the reigning Rugby World Cup champions neck of the woods.
Yes, and that's a conversation for another time. I just love the fact that for the Lions, you're going to get us to play in Joburg at altitude. So I think it's only fair that your South African brethren wear lead suits just to give us a hand. And it's, Isaac, it's fantastic that you went to Plumpton. I grew up in that area. What a gorgeous area you're in. Christine, who are you, please, and who are you representing? Not trying to make it sound like Eurovision, but who are you, please?
I'm here as the chair of MDS, which is a graduate recruitment and training business. And we've currently got 70 trainees working for us on a 2-year program and about 60 members. I'm also a trustee of the Farmers Club Charitable Trust, but Lisa's going to tell you about that in a minute.
Fantastic. And let's just, I know we will a little bit later, but MDS in my tenure, so as a sideline, I run a recruitment business called Red Fox, that by far the better people we see in fresh produce, especially, have come through the MDS training scheme. I did a session with the Harper students last week, and one thing I was looking to extol was the virtues of the MDS scheme. So if you're a student watching this, please look at the MDS scheme, because what do you reckon, Christine? It's brilliant. There's no other word for it, really.
It's fantastic, and it doesn't matter what you've studied at university. We've got people with bioarchaeology degrees, maths degrees, chemistry degrees, languages, geography, and it's just a great way of getting into the food industry, understanding different roles, and deciding what suits you. But throughout the whole of that, we do a level 5 apprenticeship training on management and leadership.
Boom. Excellent. Lisa, who are you, please, and who are you representing?
Right, okay, my name's Lisa Turner, and I'm representing the Farmers Club Charitable Trust. I'm contracted as the awards ambassador for the trust, and the trust has charitable objectives to provide grants and bursaries through their agricultural educator awards, mainly to agricultural lecturers in colleges and universities. And they also offer sponsorship to individuals wishing to take up the Windsor Leadership Trust training programmes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lisa. Robert, where's Robert? Robert.
Hello.
Who are you, please, and who are you representing?
Well, I'm a course director of the Institute of Agricultural Managers Leadership Development Programme alongside Professor Wynne Jones and Louise Manning. It's a 3-week programme split between Cirencester, Westminster and Brussels.
Wow.
And it's designed for delegates who are well on their leadership journey. It's more leadership development or acceleration rather than a programme just about the theory of leadership.
Excellent. Robert, thank you very much. Karen, you're now becoming a regular on our broadcast. You did a fantastic session with Christine for Women in Food and Farming with us recently about the Welshpool Company of Farmers. Oh, I've introduced you. Over to you. Introduce yourself again, please.
Oh, thank you very much. So I'm with the Welshpool Company of Farmers, and I had the great pleasure of chairing the Education Committee for several years. And we've got two fabulous courses, the Challenge of Rural Leadership, which is based down in Devon and run by Richard Soap, and the Advanced Course in Agricultural Business Management, which is run by Keith Barrable. We also support people doing Cranfield courses, an MBA or the Business business Growth Programme. And we also support Nuffield. So we're very involved with leadership and management for the next generation going forward.
And Christine, it was fascinating with the broadcast that we did for Women in Food and Farming with Karen. I don't know about you, but the response I got after the broadcast was that everyone was so wowed by what Karen was saying and the course and the fundamental changes that it made to people. We had three past participants do short videos for us that we ran as part of that wrap broadcast. If you want to see it, just get in contact with me or just Google Beanstalk Global Karen Mercer and you'll be able to see it. So what do you reckon, Christine? That was a fantastic course that Karen was promoting.
Yes, and I thought it was great that the three people who just did their little 1-minute videos, so if nothing else, just watch those 1-minute videos talking about the impact that the courses had had on them, and they think they were very honest, and talking, you know, some of them actually did the course when they were at a very uncertain point of their lives and found that the leadership course was absolutely massively influential in helping them change path.
Christine, thank you. Karen, thank you. So I hope you're getting the theme of this, leadership. Christoph, over to you, please. In beautiful Norfolk, who are you and who are you representing?
Yes, fine. I'm Chris Grote, and I'm the chairman of the Nuffield Farming Scholarships Trust. Our trust was founded by a donation of Lord Nuffield in 1947 and has awarded over 1,000 scholarships since then. And the background to this was that in 1913, William Morris, later to become Lord Nuffield, sailed to the US and learned in Detroit how Henry Ford was mass assembling motor cars. On his return, he introduced technology to the UK and revolutionized British car making, as we all know. This is the spirit on which our scholarships are built. It's a journey of discovery and an investment in yourself. Our scholars build knowledge through global experience, share brilliant ideas, make things happen, develop into tomorrow's leaders, and inspire commitment. The Nuffield Scholarship sponsors 8 to 10 weeks of international travel and training on the subject chosen by the scholar himself, aged between 25 and 45, with at least 2 years of post-professional education experience, can apply. The Trust's vision is to inspire passion in people and develop their potential to lead positive change in agriculture. And the Nuffield Scholarship is for life. We have an active alumni, a great conference, and many regional events. I did my Nuffield Scholarship in 1990, spending 10 weeks traveling Central and Eastern Europe. The wall had just come down and I studied whether there were development opportunities for British farming know-how. It was a life-changing experience. My outlook on life matured and the many friends I made along the way still enrich me every day. Excellent. I learned much about the value of the simple things in life: true friendship, trust, honesty, and hospitality. With some of those friends, we built an 85,000 hectare business in five European countries over the next 25 years. It's now owned by an international agribusiness fund. I've retired from farming and I'm back with Nuffield. Thank you.
Chris, that's fantastic. I was very blessed to attend a couple of the conferences over the years, and my best man is a Nuffield scholar, and to my godparents, to various of various members of my kids, various of my kids are also scholars. So I've seen this all the way through. Chris, do you think I'm too old to become a Nuffield scholar now? Because I want to know what you know.
Well, do you look 45? No, of course not. You can try.
but Chris, it's just a bit like MDS and with Karen with the Worshipful Company of Farmers. There's so many schemes, There's a defined number of niche schemes that have got such proven worth within agriculture. I don't know. In some ways, I'm so proud to be associated with the sector because of these schemes and the difference that they're making. But we need to go to this next step. Hence why the creation of the Agri Leadership Week for the 17th, 21st of May. So let's thank you, everyone. Let's get on with this. Isaac, are you ready? If everyone else could turn off their videos and their audio. So what Isaac has prepared for us today is some slides on, well, Isaac, you present it, because I've been very privy to see the inside line of this, but it'd be excellent for everyone to hear more about it, please.
Okay, I'm just hoping I'm sharing now.
Yep, got it.
Excellent. Yes, so very, very excited to share a bit of research with you that we've commissioned, and actually it's so hot off the press, I'm hoping to sign it off this week. So, and it will be launching it, you know, as soon as we've got it signed off. It's called the AgriLeader Bridging the Gap 2030 Report. And although it says AgriLeader, you know, which is our certain AHDB offer, actually the report looks at, you know, what all of us operating in this area can do and you know, and improve on and work together going forward. It was done on behalf of AHDB by Promar, so thanks for them for doing that. And you know, and it's really a really good piece of work, we believe. So first of all, Sen, has the slides moved on there? There we go.
It has. Well done.
So we're trying to answer basically these 10 questions, and we won't have time today to go through all of these, but I'll highlight some of the areas that stood out and that we think, you know, some of the main areas. Things like how much leadership and management, you know, development, or I'll call it LMD from here, otherwise I'll be spending all my days saying LMDs and out. So how much of LMD is currently happening in the industry? What are the greatest challenges for the future leaders, farmer leaders and managers? Is the future leader really going to have to be that different from what we have today? What are the mindset, the traits, the skills that these guys and girls in the future are going to need? And look at some recommendations and contents for delivery. So first of all, Sen, we try to look a bit at some defining leadership and management, but actually, Sen, to put a definitive definition on what leadership or management is would be an absolutely folly. If you Google leadership and management, there are thousands of definitions and descriptions. I quite like this one by O'Keefe there. A leader is a future shaper. They convert the preferable to the predictable. So I quite like that. But something that also became very, very clear is that, and you can't lead without managing, and you can't manage without leading. The two are so integral. So don't try and do both at the same time, maybe, but then you definitely need both skills to be a good leader and a good manager. At AgriLeader, for some time now, we've adopted this approach, first described by someone called Ufenblatt in their research as a three-legged milking stool, which I quite like. Of leadership and management based around leading myself, leading others, and leading my business. And I think that the people that are really good leaders and managers, they manage to balance those three aspects of it and very well through what they do on a daily basis. So the first bit that we'll look at is how much LMD is currently undertaken. And let me just say, you know, this report was never, the intention was never to be a catalogue of everything that's done in the agriculture and horticulture LMD arena. We didn't have the budget or the time to do that. So we focused a bit more maybe on the CPD type element of leadership and management development. So yeah, we appreciate there are bits that we've missed. People do a lot of this maybe on their own, do modules online on their own. There are some very good work being done by land grant colleges that we haven't captured here. But I think so we've done a fairly good job of capturing sort of the LMD that's specifically done as CPD going forward. And I think what I've highlighted in red there is a really scary stat. So if we take, there's about 220,000 holdings throughout the UK. There's less than 900 people every year that go through all of these various different schemes and programs. And you can see we've captured, you know, a big majority of them there. And even if we were out by, you know, a factor of 100, which I don't think we were, that would still be less than 1% of people that actually do this training. So yeah, you know, so I think there's scope for a lot more. The next bit that I thought that we should maybe just dwell on very quickly is what are the future challenges and yes, opportunities that you know, our future leaders and managers are going to face, these mega trends. I won't dwell because, you know, there's no big surprises, but worth reaffirming. Technology and digitization is going to play an ever more important role. The population and the food demand is going to keep on increasing. We're already operating in different marketplaces, so that's going to be volatility is going to get more. Future support payments are going to change. We've got the concerned consumer now, so people want to know where their food come from, know it's safe. And very much tied in with that is this whole information, you know, what is fact and what is fake, and what do we as an industry need to get out there and make sure so we sell ourselves as the trusted industry where their food comes from. Obviously, in the environment and how we adapt to that and challenge going forward is going to be very important. But then also the workforce, the future workforce are going to be and need to be much more diverse and how we, the skills people are going to need and be able to do, but also the leaders and the farm owners themselves, you know, the leaders of those businesses are going to have to be very different skill sets that they need to do. So I guess this is sort of the more meaty part. So we then looked at what evidence is there to show which skills, traits, competencies are the most likely to affect farm performance. And we really tried to narrow it down to those things that will actually make a difference and helping farmers and growers thrive in the future. And I think some, you know, the too big a list would just get lost. So we really tried to narrow it down. You'll see we grouped them under the sort of three areas of leading myself, leading others, and leading the business. But of course, there's massive overlaps between all of those. The first one we think, and you know, the report shows is really important, is a growth mindset, being able to adapt and look at opportunities, look at challenges, and really adapt. The second one being resilience, and you know, the ag and fresh food and produce industry has really shown they are very resilient. So that is going to stay important. Inspirational leadership is going to become even more important. Some more bigger businesses and really being able to send, whether it's the people that work for you or the wider team, really get them to share your vision for your business is going to be important. Really good, solid decision makings and, you know, looking at the facts, know what my attitude to risk is and making good decisions are going to be very important. These last two is something that actually come out that maybe isn't currently covered in LMD very much, and that's that entrepreneurial and profit-focused mindset. And maybe it's because we think that people that come on these courses are already, or programs are already quite that way inclined, but also that detail consciousness. Now, so attention to detail is very important, and should that be, especially those last two, be part of leadership and management development training. So the next thing we looked at and are the future leaders and managers going to be that different? What's going to stay the same and what's going to change? things like there's still going to be a lot of small family businesses are going to be part of the future. That's a work-life balance, and you know, you live where you work or you work where you live kind of aspect is always going to be there. Succession challenges are always going to be there. But in the future, there's quite a few things that we think are going to change, some slightly, some quite drastically. There's probably going to be some more bigger farms and businesses. The impact of the leaders and the managers in those businesses are going to be increasingly important. So getting people to pull in the same way going forwards and working as a team are going to change. The pace of change will definitely increase. We're going to have to be much more adaptable. Farmers, growers are going to have to be much more aware of the ethical and environmental responsibilities, and you know, the consumer are going to look in on that. And some of the future successful businesses are probably going to have to be a bit more comfortable with uncertainty and volatility. So a very quick run through of some of the main areas, but some of the recommendations and conclusions that came out of there. So how do we increase leadership, management, development, and some, you know, the effects that they will have? We need to make it more normal. Everybody should have access to it and have the opportunity to do it. We can do that by making it more accessible and move to a blended approach. You know, this pandemic has taught us a lot of lessons on how we can do a lot more of that online. So I think those lessons need to be taken forward. Definitely need to address the diversity issues. There's so much talent out there that we potentially don't tap into. We'd need to make it more relevant to smaller family-owned farms. I think some people are put off by the fact that they think it's all about staff management and I don't have staff. So make it more relevant to the whole of the spectrum of business out there. Keep it practical. So what is actually going to make, you know, a change on how I manage my business going forward? So make it really practical. Probably focus on the audiences who want to learn. So let's work with those people. And let's use all of the tools in our armories and the studies, the stories, the podcasts, the ambassadors to really get this message out there. And I really like this quote you don't need a title to be a leader. Thank you, Max. That was a very quick run through.
Isaac, that was brilliant. And all credit to you, to your AHDB colleagues, and also to Promar for coming up with such a research study. Isaac, can you just stop your screen sharing? In my tenure of training, I've always been taught that we're basically in business for two reasons: to have fun, to enjoy what you're doing, and also to make money, to make profit. And on that side, Isaac, is there a link between leadership and management development and profit on farm performance, do you think?
Definitely. So since that's the question, I'm just trying to work out how to work this thing to turn it off. Stop sharing my screen. There we go. Excellent. Thank you very much. There definitely, that is quite a big part of what the report looks at, is that, you know, what are the traits that makes a difference? Are those traits actually, teachable? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Are those traits teachable, and can people learn to do them, and do they affect them? So there are definitely a link. Quite weak research in the area, especially in agriculture, because it is so difficult to show that, you know, we went on a course here and this was the return on the investment. So it's quite a different, difficult area to show, and it's something that we'll be looking into a bit more in the future. But yes, there definitely is a link between.
Isaac, fantastic. Christine, could you come in, please? And Chris, excellent. And Isaac, thank you very much. Isaac, if you could just turn off your video, that'd be brilliant. And Christine, just so you're aware, you've got a little bit of background noise in the background. It sounds like Mr. T is on the go with the strimmer. But that's it. Well done. Fantastic. Christine, with that masterclass from Isaac and everything that we know about all of these courses, it might be a bit of an oblique question, but why hasn't the likes of MDS, Nuffield been more successful, especially targeted towards these smaller farmers? Why has the Agri Leadership Week have to be created?
I think there's partly, and it was interesting, one of the videos that we had last week when we were talking about the Worshipful Company of Farmers is Alison Tia, who was saying, well, you know, I'm only on a small family farm, you know, what's leadership got to do with me? And I think that a lot of people think leadership isn't for them, but actually the training is all about how you think about your business and how you manage yourself. And if you do have employees, how you work with them, but how you interact with other people in the industry, how you learn, how you do continual professional development. So I think I would just say leadership's for everybody. And, you know, we at MDS are recruiting people from university. And, you know, generally their leadership, they may be talking about, you know, a dodgeball team that they played in or a small society that they got involved with. But we're looking for examples and demonstration of leadership potential. And then we take those people and we put them through four jobs in four different businesses and train them the whole way through so that by the end of 2 years, they are bright and ready to go into the food industry and do other things. And generally, an awful lot of the people that come to MDS, when we're looking asking them why they apply, that's because they don't really know what they want to do. And because we're showing them what is the industry from growers through to retailers.
Yeah, well done. I was on a call yesterday with a £300 million turnover fresh produce company talking about people, talking about recruitment. And they've taken a view that they're looking at taking on school leavers. They're very heavily ensconced with the likes of Harper, Newcastle Sign for placement students. They also deploy MDS. And their view is that all of their staff, and it goes back to what Isaac was highlighting, that it's not just staff, it is the owners of the business as well. All of their staff, all of their team are having training and development to look to better them, better themselves. Just with MDS, for those that aren't aware, can you just give a quick précis and how we can find out more about MDS so we can be involved, whether it be as a coming on as a trainee or whether as a company, please?
Well, look up MDS. If it's food and fresh produce, you'll find us on the website. We recruit new intake every April, every October. We're currently recruiting cohorts of about 20 to 25 people. We've got 70 trainees at the moment. We've got 60 members and growing. We've now got 5 retailers on board, but we have growers from asparagus, strawberries, potatoes. We've got 5 ag chem companies. We've got an engineering business. And we put these people that we recruit into 4 6-month secondments doing 4 completely different jobs in 4 completely different businesses whilst we train them a level 5 apprenticeship in management and help them understand where they fit in the industry, what they enjoy, what they're good at. And in 35 years, we have never had anybody finish the programme and not be offered a job. So there's no guarantee of a job. They've got to earn it. But we've never had anybody leave without a job.
We all say internally within the trades, Christine, I don't know if you've heard this expression before, that the person that came up with the rules for tennis was a genius. The person that came up with the scheme dynamics of MDS is a genius.
They are. I don't take any credit for that. But what we, you know, these people that we're recruiting have to hit the ground running. They're like a mini consultant in the business. They're only there for 6 months. They may get 2 weeks notice that they're moving from Aberdeen to Basel. And they just get used to just, they support each other enormously. And I think that's partly how we get everybody through. But, you know, there are headhunters like yourself refer to people wanting an MDS type. An MDS type is a can-do person that just picks things up and makes an impact.
Yeah, but if you remember, I think it was nearly a year ago, we did a fantastic broadcast for MDS where we had some amazing past leaders. So what's a good example? Like Jonathan Tremaine, CEO of Global Pacific. And you look at his career and he's very candid about it, that he wouldn't have got to where he's got to if it wasn't for the MDS scheme. Christine, stay there. Lisa, can you come back in, please? What do you think about, Christine, this whole bit about collaboration, Agri Leadership Week? Do you think the Agri Leadership Week is going to be in a better place because the likes of yourselves, all these groups that we've got on today are collaborating? What do you think, Christine?
Yeah, I feel I'm in a wonderful position because I'm aware of all of these businesses, all of these training courses. I've spoken at a lot of them. I've been a referee for a number of people doing Nuffield. I think the training that we have in our industry is absolutely outstanding.
Yep.
And I don't think enough people know about it. some of these courses have been contacting me saying, we've got no female applicants this year. Can you put some people forward, please? I just think it's a great that we're all working together to say, we have outstanding leadership training in our industry. Get on with it.
Yeah, well done. And it feels like we've got to do more, hence why the Agri Leadership Week has come about. Yeah. Christine, if you could just turn off your video. Lisa, hello.
Hi, hello, hi. Yeah.
So Lisa, I understand that the Farmers Club Charitable Trust supports leadership and management development in two ways. Can you explain, please?
Yeah, sure. Right. Right. Firstly, the Trust offers agricultural educator awards. These are specifically designed to help those employed in agricultural education to widen and develop their own technical teaching and leadership skills through study activities, either in the UK or abroad. The knowledge and experience gained is then disseminated to both students and others involved in agriculture and agricultural education sector. Annually, on average, there are around 5 recipients every year selected to receive the awards. This model means there are literally thousands of people who will benefit from the knowledge gained and shared by one individual. Over the years, the beneficiaries from many different agricultural colleges and universities have all been great ambassadors for the Farmers Club, Farmers Club Charitable Trust, and UK agriculture in general. Many have gone on to play leading roles within the industry, leading and signposting the next generation. Secondly, over the past 11 years, the Trust has been instrumental in supporting 22 individuals from agriculture sector engage with the Windsor Leadership Development Trust through bursary support. Delivered in Windsor Castle, the 4 programmes on offer are Emerging Leaders, Developing Leaders, Experienced Leaders, and Women in Leadership. Each of the programmes are designed for people at different stages of their own career journey. Anyone from the wider agricultural industry can apply. The skills and knowledge gained from the programme are aimed at leading in a fast-paced global environment.
Wow. And, I bet you've had some interesting projects. The Agriculture Educator Award, what sort of interesting projects have you supported, please?
Well, during the 40 years the Trust's been in existence, the range of projects have been as diverse as share farming in New Zealand, fish farming in Japan, sustainable farming in New Zealand, management of large dairy herds in the USA, improved beef production in Canada, calf health, nutrition and welfare in the USA, rewilding projects around the globe, precision arable agri systems in the USA and UK, visits to New Zealand and the Netherlands to examine aquaculture and for mussels and kingfish, which are large mackerel apparently, using land-based water systems, to name just a few.
Well done. I'm so impressed. I'm just going to let on to a bit of a conundrum. One of the big agricultural universities, and I won't name them, they're a bit disappointed with their student body at the moment, because the student body, they're fantastic, but they've got no international ambitions. I was very fortunate with Harper that I did my placement year on cotton in Australia, and it was the absolute making of me. And the fact that you've got so many overseas projects, and if an individual can't be based overseas for a long period of time, we'll find out with them with Chris with nothing, if they can spend some time and just through osmosis learn different techniques and different experiences and increase their network and come back to the UK with that, that's going to be all part of their leadership journey. So Lisa, how significant is the work of the Farmers Club Charitable Trust in supporting the Agri Leadership Week, please?
Well, firstly, the Trust has a strong and collaborative approach to supporting the agricultural colleges and universities through the Agricultural Educator Awards. Leadership within these settings is twofold. Firstly, directly through the development of staff, and secondly, indirectly through the propagation of many of our next generation of emerging agri leaders. There's a significant leadership development going on in these institutions and colleges and universities are key players in leadership and management development. The input of the government-funded educational establishments, who are our key partners, cannot be underestimated in the role they play in the development of future agri leaders. Secondly, the Windsor Leadership Trust programme, supported by the Trust, has benefited many of our senior leaders in the agri industry. Participants are key players Some are farmers and growers, others include chief execs, agri, cultural entrepreneurs, veterinary professionals, feed industry and specialist consultants.
Fantastic. It's such an impressive organisation and delivery of the schemes. But hold on, we've got to look to the future now. I'm going to get out my proverbial crystal ball. So the Trust has been supporting the development of leaders for over 40 years. What challenges are there going to be for the Trust over the next 10 to 20 years, do you think? Look into my crystal ball and tell me what you think, please.
Well, leadership development through agricultural qualifications will play an increasingly significant part in providing the industry with the skills, knowledge and strategies that are going to be needed to meet the current and emerging global challenges that the industry faces. The here and now challenges continue to grow and become even more complex, with the industry having to collectively consider the environment, economic, climate, political, supply and demand on a daily basis, raising awareness of the importance of agri-leadership during this inaugural cross-organisation campaign is an excellent starting point, with immense opportunities to expand the partners and stakeholders. We see our role in championing leadership through the strong links we have with Landex, the land-based colleges aspiring to excellence organisation, colleges and universities, as an excellent base and the pathway to provide opportunities to individuals. Our Trust Chairman, Stephen Fletcher, said that investing in the future by developing our current and future agricultural leaders has never been so imperative. So we want to work on the success of this dedicated week to enhance our collaboration with those supporting and providing formal agricultural qualification, so the leaders of the future find their most appropriate leader journey for their individual needs.
Fantastic. Our training, our future requirements are safe with yourself, Lisa, and your colleagues. How can we find out about applying for a programme, please?
Right, well, the best place to find the most up-to-date information and the application forms are on the Farmers Club Charitable Trust website, and that's www.tfcct.co.uk.
Fantastic. Robert, could you come in, please? So Lisa, you believe as well that this collaboration with all of you is going to, instead of just one of you acting on a solo basis to promote a leadership week, you're convinced, you're positive that all of you coming together is just going to add momentum to this?
Absolutely, yes, there's no doubt about it, that working together as a team, just this broadcast today is just making people aware of the opportunities that are out there.
Fantastic. One thing I've definitely picked up over the last year of doing over 80 broadcasts on the UK and international basis is collaboration, and we'll come on to that a little bit later. Lisa, fantastic masterclass. Robert, I've attended a number of your events over the years when I've been allowed to, when the likes of John Giles has slipped me a ticket to come in. What fantastic events. Could you give everyone a bit of an understanding, if they don't know, but of course they do know, but give us a bit of an But being serious, actually, there's quite a few students that may not understand who the Institute of Agricultural Management are. Could you tell us, please?
Well, yes, we're an institute, a membership organisation, and people can come in and be organised by us to do CPD and all sorts of stuff through our excellent administrator, Victoria Bywater. And Victoria is a font of information on all the stuff that is available, and they only need to go onto the website to access it to see what we do. But I suppose our flagship sort of item is this leadership development course, which we've been running since 2002. And it was actually as a result of John Allison, Professor John Allison, who was Dean of Agriculture at Cirencester at the time, who did a Nuffield scholarship, and it was recognised at that point how little leadership development there was within the agricultural sector. So the course has been run since 2002 every other year, except obviously last year we had to curtail it halfway through the course because of COVID.
Well said, and it's fascinating just to see how some businesses, organisations have, here comes that word, pivoted over the last year. And all credit to yourself, especially Victoria. I've been I get a lot of your emails, and the number of events, and especially some of the speakers that, that you get in, are very impressive. They were impressive before, obviously, when we were on a face-to-face meeting basis, but you've run some fantastic webinars over the last year. So just coming to and again, all credit to Victoria for bossing that, for running that professionally. Just coming to the course again, who do you think would be most applicable? So we've got a whole range of people that will be watching this either live on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on the podcast, from the ag and the fresh produce sectors in the UK and internationally. Robert, who do you think would be most applicable to apply to engage in your course, please?
Right, well, I think this is all part of what you were it was so appropriate what you were saying about collaboration. And the fact is that we're all running these courses, and people can have a leadership development journey through their professional life. And we consider ourselves to want delegates, 12 delegates every other year, who are already on that leadership journey, because we want to expose them to an experiential type course where they get to listen to fantastic speakers like Christine Takeon and people like that from the top of the tree, who will talk about their own leadership journey. And then we learn from it. So it's very experiential. We do a week in Cirencester to start off with, just basically softening them all up and getting them to work as a group. Then we go to Brussels for a week, where we have been exposing them to all the EU policymakers and to our people out there, Kajika and people. And then we have a final week in Westminster, where we expose them to UK policymakers. But this, when we start our course again, which we're going to do the last 2 weeks of in the spring next year, we intend now to spend half of our foreign week in Wageningen, over in Holland as well, because we've got to decide whether Brussels is still as relevant as it was. So we're looking for delegates. I mean, I did the course in 2008, and I did the Worshipful Company of Farmers course in 1997. I see it as a sort of progression. My CPT developed in that way. And we've all got courses, Windsor and everything, that people can do. But a lot of it depends upon the time that people have got to available in their professional lives. And 3 weeks is quite a big ask for people. But what I would say is that no one who's done our course over the last 20 years has ever regretted it and felt that it was a waste of time. And a lot of the strength of all these courses is the cohort that you're with and how much you learn from the other delegates. And that's the same for all the courses. And it's so valuable for an industry where a lot of people are inward looking in their own businesses, just to talk to other people in similar positions in their businesses.
And it's fascinating, Robert, isn't it? When you come across individuals who haven't been on these courses before, and when they do, they suddenly realize that everyone's got the same problem, but actually some of the people worked out the solution. There's two testimonials. There's two key individuals who I won't name, but one is in the banking industry within agriculture, and one runs a very large farm in East Anglia. Both of them went on the course coincidentally at the same time. I met up with them some pre-pandemic, and both of them independently said to me that the course was the making of them. It gave them the confidence that they need. That individual within the banking industry has gone on to soar. That individual within the farming community, that farm was just ticking over. Robert, you should see what they're doing now. And the catalyst was absolutely because of your course and because what they learned. And the other bit I just want to mention, as Robert stated, and I'll be a bit more glib about it, that 50% of what you learn on these courses, you learn at the bar. It is actually with your cohort, picking up with them, and they become lifelong friends. And just to reiterate that scenario again, everyone has got the same problem. Everyone has encountered the problem that you've had, whether it be on a farming or on a domestic basis, and they're all there to help with these courses, because if they're engaging in these courses, they want to help you and they want to help themselves. So get engaged. Robert, stay there. Karen, come on in, because that's a great segue to bring you in, Karen, about the Worshipful Company of Farmers. So Karen, it's great that Robert did your course back in the 90s.
Yeah, it's a very good course to start with. Was it the advanced course that you did, Robert?
Yeah, we did it. In those days, we did it over in Y College, Karen.
The advanced course before it went to Cirencester. Yeah, well, we're on our 70th course now, so there's over 1,200 people been through that course. It started in 63, so and still going very strong.
Can I just say, Tarnassus is brilliant, but there are other universities available, as they
there
say.
There are other universities available.
Just got to live my harp about. Robert, if you could just turn off your video. So Karen, we need a bit of a pray-see in the respect of, it's a bit of a duplication as to the fantastic broadcast you did with myself and Christine, Women in Food and Farming. Tell us everything about the Worshipful Company of Farmers. Go!
Everything? What? You don't want all that again?
No, well, not the history from the 16th century, perhaps.
We became a livery company in 1952, and we're there to promote leadership and management within agriculture. And the educational courses are what we're really all about. And we started with the advanced course way back in 1963. And as I said, we're on our 70th course now. But we then found that there was a gap for more leadership course, and the Challenge of Rural Leadership was started 25 years ago. So that's just coming up its 25th course as well.
So we found out on this previous broadcast, and I do ask you to just Google Beanstalk Global Karen. It will come up with the repeat of that broadcast. You can listen to it on YouTube or on.
Well, do you want the story about how we got the livery company?
No, it's fine. But everyone can watch that on that catch up. Karen, who do you think would be most applicable to come and engage with you for the Worshipful Company of Farmers courses? Who would you like to come in to talk to you, please?
Who would like to engage on it? Yep. The delegates.
Yep.
Well, absolutely anybody. A lot of people have been to college or university. They've come back home or in a business, and they sort of get to a level and they need to push themselves forward and go and take themselves out of their comfort zone. So it's applicable to anybody who just wants to improve where they are. And it takes a big, people want to come and do these courses, but they have to take a leap of faith and think, right, well, we're going to sign up for this. They like the Challenge of Rural Leadership. There's no curriculum. People say you should go. It'll change your life. Just have faith. And they go, and we have people from all sorts. So we have people involved with business, farmer sons, farm managers, people from the NFU, CLA, Rural Charter Surveyors, a whole host of people. And so, for example, the Challenge of Rural Leadership, they all get down there on a Sunday and they are fully immersed for a fortnight. They start at about 8 in the morning, and there's no time to be ringing home, because you're involved right until you go to the bar about 10 o'clock. As you say, the bar's very important because they all chat along, and they have case studies to do. They're taken right out of their comfort zone, and they just learn so much. And they find that everybody wants to learn. You know, they're mixing with like-minded people. And then they go back home and they bring so many changes to themselves and to their business. It's personal development and their business development. And I've got two sons. Well, I've got three sons. Two of them have done the advanced course, and two of them have done the Nuffield. And I went and did a Windsor leadership course about 3 years ago. So that took me right out of my comfort zone. And it was suggested that I should go and do it. And I thought, I'm jogging along here quite nicely. And I got there, there were 18 of us. And I was older than anybody else by 20 years. We had somebody who was from the RAF based in the Pentagon. Wow. We had leading army people. And my badge just said Karen Mercer Hill Farm. And I thought, right, I'm going to stay underneath the radar here, but you can't do that. And they actually bring everything out of you that they possibly can. And it's just such a brilliant experience. So there's so many courses out there, and we're all at different stages of our career. So there's a time and place for each one, but you'll know when you're ready to push yourself and go on to the next level.
Fantastic. And I'm just going to get about to go on to a testimonial from Emily Norton, Head of Rural Development at Savills. But can you just show off about your nephew and the event that you've hopefully got coming up with him later this year? Because I love that.
Robbie, yep. My nephew.
Yep.
Yes, he's actually MP now for Ilkley and Keithley, and he's hosting an event for the Worshipful Company of Farmers at the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And then we're going to have a speaker panel afterwards. So yeah, very proud of him. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, it was when we were all campaigning in Ilkley and Keithley for him. That was a good few days, that was. Excellent. Going around knocking on doors.
And thank you. I love that. So the first time around, it's even better the second time around. So Emily Norton, if it's okay to name check Emily on our previous broadcast with Karen, Emily did the course. They said to Emily, Karen, you might have to help me here with the exact details, but they told Emily, right, you're all fired up, get home, back to the family farm, back to the family business, just take 6 months just to see how things are going to settle up, then start to implement your changes. So she finished the course on a Friday. On the Saturday, she started to implement the changes, and that business has never looked back. And as she stated, she was not in the best place when she looked to go on that course, and it changed her. It metamorphosized her into a far better person in respect of the family business. And it was also, coincidentally, it helped her with her future development and then gaining a very senior role with Savills, all because of Karen's course, all because of the
Worship Company. You are told to stop and think before you go and do anything drastic, but quite a lot have done the course and they think, right, it's now, I'm ready for this, let's go. And the advanced course, I mean, that's brilliant too. And so they both have a part to play, the Challenge Rural Leadership and the advanced course in agricultural management.
Excellent. Karen, stay there. Chris, could you come back in? Karen, have you got a tie for the Worshipful Company of Farmers, like Chris has for the Nuffield Scholarship?
Oh, they have ties. And we also, all the people that go on our courses, there's now an alumni association, which is brilliant. And we have a learning extension day at Cranfield every year. So we go and we have a day of brilliant speakers, just like we do on all the courses. Yep. And a dinner at night. And so you're getting people who've been on the courses many, many years ago, not just the new delegates. But yeah, it's great.
Okay. But do you have a tie like Chris?
We all have ties, yes.
Oh, okay. just checking out. Check it out, the merch.
I have a headscarf, a scarf thing, but I don't actually use it very often, I have to say.
Fantastic, Karen. Thank you, Karen. If you could turn off your video.
Thank you.
Chris, Nuffield. I was saying about how my best man did Nuffield. I was at Harper with this particular individual, and he went to Cirencester. Can you believe it, Chris? He went to Cirencester to top up, to do a management course. And the reason he did that was because he then wanted to have it on his CV that he'd been at Harper, he'd been at Cirencester, he'd run various farms to hopefully get a Nuffield scholarship. And he did. And he travelled the world investigating the apple sector. Chris, for those that aren't fully aware, I know you gave us a fantastic précis earlier, but could you just give us, in your own words, the nuts and bolts of Nuffield and why people should look to engage with the course and what it can do for them, please?
Well, the first thing I would say is just a number of names that were mentioned over the last half hour who are Nuffield scholars. You know, whether it's Robbie Moore, or whether it's Emily Norton, whether it's Wynne Jones, Louise Manning, gives you a flavour of where some of what we do comes from. And I think the key difference is, and we all work very well together in conjunction. And to give you an example of that, Christine Taken was talking about MDS, and I do remember having been at the time a member of one of the business who set MDS up. The efforts we made in order to find the money to employ somebody, and indeed between ourselves as individual businesses, to accept that people were going around various businesses as trainees, because we really did see the need and how that has grown. It's fabulous, really, really, really good. Our slot is. In, if you like, to some extent, in the middle of all this, where you get to a stage in your career, and I speak from my own experience, if you like, where it's time to take stock, it's time to look at something new, it's time to broaden your horizon, and if you're lucky to get a scholarship, then you basically take 8 to 10 weeks out, and it's almost like an industrial sabbatical. Because you can immerse yourself into the subject you want to study, and the subject is for you. And along the way, certainly I did. You have what we call light bulb moments.
Fantastic.
Completely out of the context of what you might have been studying, but it's a life lesson which you suddenly pick up by meeting somebody, and Nuffield provides the funds for that, and the if you like the framework in which that is set, this the worldwide alumni with over 11 countries now fully involved, 70 international scholars every year. The network that's built up over those years, the Contemporary Scholars Conference, where all the worldwide scholars meet for a week, which, by the way, will be in Norwich next year, for a week to learn from each other, to network with each other, and to listen to other people. We're doing some of it in conjunction with Norwich Research Park, for example, and that is, it's, if you like, getting you out of the box of the day-to-day, thinking about something new, having time for yourself, putting the smartphone aside and really thinking something through and having the time and the training back up with it for, you know, we do a bit of public speaking training, we do how to write reports and so on and so forth. And the great thing is it's open to everybody. All you have to be, you have to be in a job and had some experience post post-college or post-whatever, you know, and now the people who've left school, or scholars left school at 15 and never had much formal education since then, that's fine. They've got a good scheme. That's great.
There's a lovely saying that I like to use that I saw on a trip through Africa, and I was very privileged to stay in a fantastic household, and they were a big great business, and on their kitchen door on the way out it said, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. I don't know about you Chris, but I meet a number of people, especially of the sort of 30 40 50 year age group, saying, well, I've done as much as I can, I'm just in my job within agriculture now, what more can I learn? Crikey, for them to go into Nuffield, and if they, and this excuse that you must hear time and time again, Chris, oh, I can't take the time out of the business. It's not, you cannot but take the time out of the business, because you're going to better yourself. And as we both know, we all know that the graveyard is full of irreplaceable people. You need to take that time out for the likes of Chris's course, Nuffield Scholarship, or any of the other courses to better yourself and your business. So Chris, if you're meeting that issue, that the classic conundrum is the farmer and son. The son wants to progress, but the family don't want him to. How can you persuade them to allow that son to take but 6 weeks out of the business and not milk the cows or tend after the wheat? What would your answer be, please?
Well, that is of course a difficult one, because circumstances are different in every business. But it does take some strength of character to make that decision and follow it through. And all I would encourage is, whether at the time when you're thinking about this, you're interested in doing it, you might get support from the family or not, have a go at trying and then go from there. I would argue that being an Nuffield scholar should be sufficient accolade for the family to understand and say, really, well, he's gained a Nuffield scholarship. Well, good luck, and let's see what he comes back with.
Well said. And I've slightly led you into my trap. My best man who went to Harper and Cirencester and did the Nuffield course, he has been to, I think he last told me, about half a dozen kitchen tables to have that conversation directly with families who didn't want to let go or were hesitant for son or daughter to go off. And they all went and they've all joined Nuffield over the last 10 years. So the peer pressure is also a good way of forcing that a positive to that potential negative. Chris, fantastic. How do we find out more about Nuffield? How do we find out if you're applicable, the right age group? How do we find out how to join, please?
Well, we have we've just introduced a new website, which is, I think, very exciting. Yeah. And it's www.nuffieldscholar.org.
Excellent.
It's got everything on there. It's got lots of YouTube videos you can go into. You've got reports. You've got everything. You've got the how to apply and so on. And there's also social media. Get involved.
Excellent. Chris, well done. Can everyone come back in, please? And Chris, I'm just going to ask a question of everyone. I'll just start with you as everyone piles back in. LMD, as Isaac was saying earlier, leadership management development. How do you think by collaborating we can make leadership management development more normal in agriculture? Chris, what do you think? How can we get this to be not a thing that we're trying to force people to do? We're not trying to get them to force. How can we get this to be just the norm? What do you think, Chris?
Well, leadership is never ending. It's a life journey. You might be leading your upper team when you're in school, and you develop from there. You might not be leading your upper team, but you have a reason to want to have to become a leader because of circumstances in your life, and then maybe at any stage. And if you like, the great thing of us getting together is that we've actually got a whole theme that goes all the way through. Nothing is the same. And you can gain much from every course, whether you're Nuffield Scholar, whether you do MDS, whether you worship with Company of Farmers, and so on.
Well said. Robert, same question to you. How can we make leadership management development the norm in our sectors?
Well, I think really we've got to tap into all those very successful people within the industry who've done these courses and prevailed. And nowadays, with sort of modern communication, etc., it should be easier than ever to get some of their life stories back into the domain. And particularly now, where agriculture is facing such an uncertain future, we need to be communicating with each other, both farmers communicating with each other, but also our courses communicating with each other, so that we can all benefit from each other's courses and get the people. But it's always been a struggle to get people to attend the training for the very reasons that Christoph was talking, because the problem is the day-to-day management of our businesses at the moment, in a period of time where we've probably got less staff than ever before. It's a very difficult conundrum, but we will overcome it. And we've had great success with all these courses. And I think the message is getting through, but it's just a drip, drip, drip to try and move it in the right direction.
Robert, well said. Karen, what's your view, please? How can we make leadership management development the norm?
Well, let's just hope we can kickstart it a bit next week with the Leadership Week and get people talking about it and showcase different people, you know, the videos and everything, and let people see what others can do and inspire them to do it. I mean, the question is, why wouldn't you go and do a leadership course? And there's so many people to look up to that have done it. And I did forget to say that my nephew, Robbie Moore, he has done enough field as well. So sorry about that, Chris. but yes, just all talking, all the course providers talking and promoting it. And there's great webinars going on. Yeah. Just log on and look and see what people are doing. And you can do it as well.
Fantastic. Lisa, I do apologise if I cut you off in your prime video wise. If you got the question, leadership and management development. Well, I think Karen's answer is fantastic. Why wouldn't you do a leadership training course? Lisa, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely vital. The world is changing so rapidly and agriculture is changing so rapidly that we need to be ahead of the curve and have everybody, you know, learn and develop as much as we possibly can.
Fantastic. Christine, come on. Why how could we persuade people to do these leadership courses with the likes of MDS and the rest of our colleagues on this broadcast?
Well, my background is not the agricultural industry. It was engineering and then fast moving consumer goods. They're in those industries, and I'm a chartered engineer. Yeah. Continual professional development is essential for anybody in that qualification. You wouldn't want your GP or your dentist not to be doing continual professional development. And I don't think we've really got that into our heads in our industry. We are so technologically advanced nowadays. There's so much we have to deliver for the public that we have to keep training and developing ourselves. And I'm horrified the number of times I ask people, what was your most recent training? And I can tell you, I put money on it every time. They'll say health and safety. Yes, of course, that's important, but leadership is just another dimension. And nobody has actually said that almost all of these organisations that are represented here today have helped people find the money. You have to find the time, but they will often help you find the money to go on the course. There are numerous agricultural charities that are available. They will point you to them. You have to win it. You have to earn it. But funds will not be the reason that you don't get to do a leadership course. And hopefully we'll get all of those messages across next week.
Fantastic. Isaac, you did a great presentation earlier via yourself, via colleagues and the great team at Promar. What's your takeaway from hearing from Chris, from Robert, from Karen, from Lisa, from Christine, please?
listen, I'm definitely not one to knock a very good night in the bar and never undervalue the lessons you can learn in a bar. But I think in this day and age that we live in, the fast-paced society, I think so one of those recommendations that I mentioned to make it more accessible, move to blended, I think that, you know, all of these courses have got a place and are brilliant courses, but I think those smaller bite-sized things that people, when you need something on that specific area of leadership or that specific area of management, more of those bite-sized, easy accessible parts, I think, and will play a big role in the future. So yeah, I think that's one of the things we should all be working on and looking at.
Isaac, fantastic, thank you. And everyone, just to summarize, collaboration. I think probably the best example is Chris, actually. Chris, with your brilliant example of some of your colleagues that you did Nuffield with, crikey, look at what you went out and did in Eastern Europe. When I was in the grain trade back in the day, and I came up into East Anglia, and I had a fiefdom of about 150 farmers. I remember my boss at the time saying, the problem with farmers is that they don't collaborate. If they collaborated, they'd be so much more efficient and so much more progressive. I think we're beyond that now. What Christine said earlier about other industries, especially the likes of engineering, where the learning development is in front of us, but by crikey, with the likes of everyone here, Nuffield, AHDB, Institute of Agricultural Management, Worshipful Company of Farmers, the Farmers Club Charitable Trust. And I did tell you, everyone, I've got two other trade organisations bemoaning that they weren't on this course, on this broadcast, because they wanted to have their 5 minutes as well to sell their courses. So it's great that we're collaborating on this. Isaac, just to summarise for us, Agri Leadership Week, how do we find out more about it?
So look at an online, it's an Agri Leadership Week. You can look for the hashtag on Twitter. It's going to be everywhere. You're going to struggle to miss it.
Excellent. So everyone, hashtag Agri Leadership Week. So everyone, what does success look like if you deploy fantastic training? Come on, let's start with Karen, just to summarize for us.
You take a leadership course, you will grow, your business will grow, and all those that you're involved with will grow to make everything a success.
Boom. Lisa?
I think it's having the skills to take everybody along with you to apply everything to make the business successful.
Fantastic. Chris?
Well, it will change your life and you learn to delegate.
Boom. Robert?
Yes, I agree with Chris. It will change your life. These courses are life-changing and people never regret being on them. And so it's just crazy not to do it.
Christine?
I've come at the end, all I just have to go back to say what someone said before. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well. Isaac, I think everyone's knocked it out of the park today. What do you think?
I think so. Success for me would be a much bigger number of people going through different courses and different programs and different learning modules and finding that balance between leading yourself, leading your business and leading your team. And I really like that quote of you don't need a title to be a leader. So don't be put off.
Well said. So hashtag Agri Leadership Week, 17th to 21st of May, 2021. It's not for a week. It's for the rest of your life. Sign up. Get involved with all of these fantastic individuals here. Look at their websites. Look at them at LinkedIn. They're all here to help. Everyone, thank you very much for this broadcast today. It's been amazing. Look after yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Max.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Everyone. Bye. Thank you very much.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye.